Throughout the month of December, of course, as always, you know, we always take time to go through the Christmas story. And I want to talk about a wonderful faith throughout this month. We have a wonderful faith as believers. Is that not true? We have a wonderful faith. And I'm often, when I think of that, I think of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. How many has ever seen the movie, It's a Wonderful Life? And one of the great joys I had in life was, before my father passed away as a young guy, I would watch movies with him on Saturdays. We would watch old movies. And I love watching old movies, and every Christmas we would watch It's a Wonderful Life. But I got to thinking about that scene when he is in the bar and he's crying over his situation, and he asks God to help him. And he says, God, show me the way. God, show me a way. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, you know, Jesus came. He is the way. And He has shown us the way. And He has given us the right to walk in the way. And so when we begin to think about the Christmas story, I want to talk a little bit about it in the next few weeks, about a wonderful faith. Because in order for God to do what He did through the Christmas story, there had to be some people who walked with tremendous faith. There had to be some people that walked in tremendous obedience to God in order for it to take place. There had to be an extraordinary faith. And I want to talk about the elements of that faith in the Christian story. Now, I don't want to call it a series, because a lot of times series can be overrated, because many times when preachers talk about series, what they're really saying is it's all about me. I want you to hear what I've got to say more than what God wants to say. But it's not a series. We're going to talk about faith throughout the month of December, and we want to hear what God has to say to us about faith and what God's instruction to us about faith. When we look at Mary and Joseph and we look at that announcement 2,000 years ago that Christ was to be born, and we look at this couple who had common names, who were in a common city and an ordinary place, and God reached down into that common place with common people and use them to do something that was extraordinary. But in order for them to do it, they had to have a courageous faith. I want to talk about a joyous faith, a waiting faith throughout this month. I want to talk a little bit about a waiting faith that waits for God to move in our lives. And so let's talk a little bit about a courageous faith. Talk a little bit about a wonderful faith. Talk a little bit about faith to embrace my season of life and change. When I read this story, and when I read through the book of Matthew and Luke of the Christmas story, there are some things that really stand out. There are some things that are extraordinary. And one of the things that stood out to me is that this couple could not do what God asked them to do unless they were willing to go through a season of change. See, faith is always what pushes us into seasons of change in our life. When we begin to look at this, and I begin to look and get excited about this Christmas season, I begin to think about, we should always have room for Jesus at Christmas. How many know that we should always make room for Jesus at Christmas? But here in the book of Matthew chapter 1, and I want to read a few verses in verses 18 through 21, and then we're going to move over to Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2. But here, in these few verses here in Luke and Matthew chapter 1, I want to read this. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. What a great passage of Scripture. Now, if you'll turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 2, I want to read a verse of Scripture there. Luke chapter 2, and beginning in verse 4 through 7. Joseph also went up from Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. The days were completed for her to be delivered. Now, Luke is a doctor. When you read the book of Luke, there are many places in Scripture where Luke is very detailed in his Scripture. But it seems when you read the Christmas story, how Luke is somewhat just forward and simple about the Christmas story. But if you look at verse 6, it said, so there was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Matter of fact, some translation says this, the time came for the baby to be born. The time came for the baby to be born. That word in the Greek is a word that is used as a metaphor there. It is a word that God does something in our life we may not always feel ready for it to be done. In other words, the emphasis of the Scripture is that it came time. Listen, Joseph and Mary did not have a sonogram. They did not post it on Facebook for everybody to see, and they did not have a due date. They weren't running around with due dates and sonograms. When the time came, the time came. You had to be ready for when the time came. And it said, when the time came, I believe that the time is coming for many of you that are here, that something great that God is wanting to do in your life is about ready to happen. And you may not feel totally prepared, or you may not feel like you have it all together, but I can say this, that what God is getting ready to do in your life, He will do it on His time. And when the time comes, it will be time. God will make sure you're prepared and ready when the time comes. I believe God's getting ready to do something great in many of your lives. And there's nothing that can stop it from God doing it once He begins to do it. When it's time, it's time. And I feel some of you are pregnant with purpose. And the time is about ready to come when God is going to get ready to use some of you. Every year we preach the Christmas story, most pastors do, and you have to find ways to keep it fresh and to keep it fresh. But listen, when you begin to think about this, I've thought about this over the course of the last year, and some of the people that God has brought into this fellowship in the last year. Some of you that God has brought into this ministry the past year, I see that God, and notice that many of you are in different seasons. Many of you have different giftings. Many of you have been in ministry. Many of you have been used maybe elsewhere, or maybe God is preparing you for a new season in your life. And all of a sudden, but here's what I feel. I feel that God has got some of you in a season, and the time's about ready to come when God's going to begin to use you and push you out into doing and working for His purpose, because some of you are pregnant with the purpose of God this morning. Many of you are in different seasons. I've watched many of you come into this fellowship, and you've had different experiences and been different places and been used of God in other places, and God has brought you here, and I really feel that it's like you're pregnant with the purpose of God, and it's just a matter of time to wait on God. And when that timing comes, the time's going to come, and you can do nothing about it. So you have to be ready to embrace the season that God has you. But in every season God has you, there is always change in whatever season God takes you into. God doesn't just take you into a season of your life just for the season. He takes you into a season in your life so that change can be made in your life, so that you can walk the next season with victory. And so the season you're in is a season where God is going to bring some change in you. The change is not for now, but the change is for where God is taking you when the time comes. The Christmas story, if anything, it's about change. See, all change is not created equal. How many would agree with that? Some change is voluntary, and it's initiated by us. Just like this Christmas season, the end of December, we're all going into a new year, and many of us have already thought about the things we're going to change going into next year. I mean, it's a season where we think about change. It's a season when we think about where we are. We're on the cusp of making new goals and making new changes. And change is not created equal. Some of you don't get to choose some of the changes in your life, and you did not get to vote on some of the changes that have happened in your life in this past year. Sometimes change is a lot easier to embrace, or a season of life is a lot easier to embrace if it's announced to us. How many know it'd be easier to walk through something if God announced it to you before you walked through it to you before you started walking through it? It'd be a lot easier to walk through. Some of you are planners in life, and so you plan everything out. So when something that happens that creates change that you didn't plan for, that's difficult for you to handle because you're a planner. You just wish God would just tell you what He's doing, how He's leading you, what He's getting ready to do, and what changes need to be taking place. And it would even be easier if seasons in our life would come one at a time. Sometimes we can be going through multiple changes and seasons in our life at one time. Now, we live in the Midwest, right? How many know that you can't predict the weather in the Midwest? How many know you can wake up and be snowing at 8 o'clock in the morning, and by noon it's 70 and sunny, and you're rocking a tank top down to Shooters to get some cheese fries? Because change can happen that quick. But you can experience more than one season at a time. And it can happen at a time. And that season can be changed. Now most of you, as I said before, are planners. So you would love it if God would announce it. But through all the different seasons in our life, we can experience different things. Like some of you, you could be in a time of blessing an increase at your job, but you could be going through hell at home. You could be in the middle of great blessing and fellowship and friendship with your friends, but be struggling with your family relationships. You could be blessed in your marriage, but yet you're going to a nursing home after work to sit with someone who is sick. So you could be going through multiple seasons and multiple times of change going on in your life all at once. But if we learn anything from the Christmas story, it's to embrace the season that you're in and allow God to bring the change that He wants to bring in your life so that you can move into the next season. There's categories of change. Some change is good. Some change is bad. Matter of fact, some change that's bad, which seems to be bad at the time, but afterwards you realize the value of what you walked through because it produced something in you that wasn't there before. But even though it was bad, it had value. Some change is just, it's just good all around. Matter of fact, to give you an example of that, I want you to listen to this. Who recognizes what this is? Go ahead and hit that. Listen closely. How many of y'all remember that? Okay. How many remember that? How many remember you had to have an open phone line to get on the internet? How many of you thank God for the change that we got Wi-Fi now? You don't have to dial up anymore. How many know some change is good? Some change can be big. Some change can be small. Matter of fact, some small changes can make a big difference. How many text on your phone, and while you're texting, if you sometimes you'll send a message and autocorrect has corrected your words. Huh? And you've said something you wish you did not say. And autocorrect said, instead of keep me posted, it said, I want you to go into menopause. How many know that wouldn't be good? But some small changes can make a big difference. There can be big changes. Some changes can be permanent. Some changes can be temporary. Some changes can be right now, and some changes are someday. Some changes are hard, and some changes are easy. How many know there are hard changes at times? How many know having a baby is not an easy change? But here's the thing. Most of us are more excited about changing our situation than you ourselves being changed. Many of us are more excited, are more, want more desire for our situation to change instead of us being changed in the middle of our situation. The greatest change that God wants to make in us is the change that is in you and in us. The angels announced to Joseph and Mary that a change was coming. A change they did not choose, but a change that would change everything and everyone around them. Joseph and Mary had to embrace this change and season that was in their life. Talk about some, when you talk about some ways to embrace your season and how God can bring change. See, when we embrace the season we're in, that God has us, then God can work the changes in us that are needed to be made. And many of us, at times, we have to embrace that season that we're in. And I want to share with you a couple of things of how change works in a season. How the season that you're in, how change can work. Now, Joseph is very underrated in Scripture. I love Joseph. He's one of the great characters in the Bible. I wish I had time to go into his life, because the Bible talks about him not as a man who is just righteous, but the Bible says he is a man who walks in righteousness. In other words, his being is walking in righteousness. Now, Joseph, who is an interesting... Could you imagine the situation that Joseph is in, having to tell everyone his girlfriend is pregnant? But not only telling everyone that his girlfriend is pregnant, but telling everyone that God did it. How many know that would go over well at your house? Mom, Dad, my girlfriend is pregnant, but God did it. How many know there'd be some rumors? Oh yeah. He had to embrace the change of the season that God was taking him through. He had to embrace that season of change so that God could change him and change Mary to be used of God. In Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 through 20, we see this description. The Bible tells us in verse 18 and verse 20. It says that verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her an example, was minded to put her away secretly. He was going to put her away secretly. For God to change our life, He also has to change our mind. In other words, Joseph said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put her away secretly. But God said, no, this is not what's going to happen. In verse 20, he said to him, but while through about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which she has conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. He had a mindset to do one thing, but God spoke to him to do something different. And all of a sudden, his mind had to be changed in the middle of his season in order to move forward. Sometimes in a season, God has to change our mind. So here are a couple of things when you're going through change in a season. Number one, you have to there has to be something that you accept. There was something that Joseph had to accept. You have to accept something that you don't understand. Joseph had to accept something he could not understand. And a lot of times in a season, when God is bringing change into your life, there's sometimes you have to accept things you don't understand. But not only accept things you don't understand, but to accept things you can't control. To change your mind about something that you cannot change. See, it's easy to make change when we're in charge of that change. But we have to accept change that we don't have anything to say about. It's hard to accept change that we had nothing to do with. Change that came our way that wasn't voted by us, our decision that we did not make. But it was this, we have to accept what God brings through our life, because in order to change, in order to move to the next season, there are going to be some things in your life you've got to accept that you may not always have an answer to for why. It's going to move you. It's going to push you. If you always remain at the place of asking the question, God, why, instead of accepting what God is doing, you'll never move in to a new season in your life, because you'll always be stuck at the why. When God says, listen, just accept the fact that I gave you instruction. Just accept the fact that what you're walking through, and I'll begin to bring change into the midst of a season. A phase of life. A limitation that you have, a disability that you have to accept something that you did not pay for, did not want. You have to accept something. You have to accept a shortcoming in your life, of the fact that you have a shortcoming. You have to move forward into the next season. Maybe you have to accept the fact that there's an empty seat at your dinner table. You can't explain why you lost someone you love, but the fact is, it happened. And so sometimes we have to accept things in order to move forward. Sometimes it's difficult to accept change when you don't get to affect the change. We struggle with that. When we don't get to affect the change, we struggle with the change. Sometimes you got to look and say, I didn't ask for it, but I'm accepting it because it's what God allowed. And when you move into this Christmas season and understand that with a season that you're in life, you just have to say, I'm accepting it even though I may not be responsible for it, but I'm going to receive it because I know that this season that I'm in, God is getting ready to move me into some change that's going to make me greater than what I am right now. I've just got to accept where I'm at. Just embrace it where you are and accept the things that you can't change. This Christmas, I'm going to accept what you have allowed in my life. I'm going to accept, God, those things that you brought into my life. Joseph did not choose himself. He did not ask for this. Do you think maybe that he had that conversation with God? God, do you realize the situation you're putting me in? Do you realize where I'm at? God says, I know. But he had to embrace it because there was a change coming. And a change was coming not only in the world, but a change was coming in Joseph. And it's time for you to move into a new season and get past asking the question of why I am where I am and just say, God, I just accept where you got me. Let's move on to the next season that you have for me in my life. Number two, not only do we have to accept something, but Joseph had to obey something. Joseph made this decision to stand by his wife. Woo! I love this scripture. I love, look at verses 21 through 23. And she will bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord through the prophet, saying, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. Look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. It means that he pulled her close to him. It said his name shall be God with us. Isn't it good to know that not only is God above us, and he knows all things, he sees all things, he works all things to our good above us, but it's also to know that he's not just above us, but God is with us. He said, Joseph, I'm not just working sovereignly in your life. I'm with you. I'm beside you. I'm right next to you where you are. And verse 24 says, he woke up. It means an awakening of revelation, an awakening of the mind. It means a fervency. Now, how many in here are hard to wake up? You need a bomb that's go off in order for you to get up. This scripture means that he awoke and he arose. Now, here's what it means. Now listen to me. You've got to get this. There's a difference between obeying outwardly but resisting inwardly, and obeying outwardly and inwardly. See, God can tell people to do something, and they'll do it outwardly, but their heart is not there to do it. I've watched people toe the line religiously because they know that outwardly they have to do it, but they don't agree with it. I watch people who are unteachable, who are unsubmitted in church, who don't want to be instructed and taught, but they'll agree on the outside. They'll do what's asked of them, but on the inside, there's that spirit of rebellion that's rising up inside of them, and they're not agreeing on the inside, even though they may outwardly be showing they're agreeing. This means that when he awoke, he didn't just awoke. He awoke with agreement with God. He did not only show it on the outside when he went and grabbed Mary and brought her to his side, but he agreed with God on the inside. Listen, you can be religious all you want, but until you agree with God on the inside, God will never bring change. Huh? And the problem is that some of us, we want to agree on the outside, but we have pushed the Word of God away from us. Why? The Word says what? Hide thy Word in thy heart that I might not sin against thee. Woo! It's not just being on the outside. Religion is not just looking the part. It's absorbing everything in the Word of God and walking it out and living it out on the inside as well as on the outside. I'm telling you, for change to come, there has to be obedience. You don't like the season you're in? The first thing you've got to do is you've got to accept where you are. The second thing is you've got to find out where you need to be obedient. It's a season. You're in this season for a reason. And you may not like where you are, but you've got to accept where God has put you for now. Let me tell you, there's seasons in my life that I dreaded, I hated. Now, I know none of y'all that's happened to. And believe me, there were times I had to struggle with where God had me. I'm telling you, I had to do some things in ministry, after ministry. When I didn't have ministry, I would grumble and grumble. And outwardly I'd do it, but inside I was rebelling. And on the inside I was questioning God. On the inside I didn't like it. I didn't want to do it. I was bucking God. I would go ahead and keep bucking, sweetheart. You're going to remain exactly where you are until you get to the point that where you say, God, I will be obedient to your word. It's a season. They're walking through this season of change. And many of you here are pregnant with purpose. And it's the season that you're in. And God wants to bring forth your purpose inside of you. But unless you learn to accept where you are and begin to be obedient to what God says, even through all the shame, even through all the questions, you think that Joseph was not questioned about his keeping Mary? Now, Joseph, do we really know the whole story about that young girl? Do you really know the whole story? Joseph, you know what the talk's going to be. You know what's going to be going around. You know that there's shame in that. God's calling you to obey something sometimes that you don't even understand. And sometimes you have to pick... Listen, some of us are sitting here and God has spoken to you to do some things and to pick up some things you've laid down. God has spoken you to go to some people and repair some relationships. God has spoken you to go do some things and you've laid that down. You've not been obedient to that thing. You've sat there and you wonder why you can't get out of the season that you're in. Why you can't get out of depression. Why you can't get out of this place of where you don't seem to be moving forward. You must accept, first of all, God's got you there for a reason. But number two, be obedient to what God says do. Some of you got a call of God on your life. You lay down and you just leave it laying there. And God's saying, hey, it's a season for you now to begin to pick that thing up and be used in the kingdom of God. Because let me tell you something. You can't just sit around here and do nothing. You can't just sit on this pew while a city goes to hell and while people hurt and while people are in need. You're not going to sit here and pout. This is not a place for you to come and pout about what happened yesterday. This may be a season in your life and it may be difficult. But accept where God has you. Be obedient to Him so that something in you that is ready to give birth can rise up in you and God can push you forward into your next season of life. Hey! I've got enough spectators around here. I need some people that got purpose and want to do something for the kingdom of God. Let something be birthed in you. Pick up something that had died and pick it back up and say, God, what area of obedience do I need to do? And pick it up and go with it. God may be calling you to reconcile something that has made you bitter. An action to what He has said to do. The good thing about God is we don't have to understand fully to obey immediately. You don't have to understand it fully to obey God immediately. You don't have to understand every ins and out of what you're walking through to be obedient to God. Just be obedient. Just walk in obedience. Just be obedient. What appears to be an interruption can turn out to be the greatest invitation to draw closer to God. What seems to be an interruption in your life, a season, can be the very thing that draws you closer to God. Some of you just need to look at God and say, hey, I can do this. Let's do this. I can do this. I'm called to teach, I'm going to teach. I'm called to preach, I'm going to preach. I'm called to reach out to those that are hurting. I'm going to reach out to those that are hurting. We can do this. I'm going to follow through. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do my part. I'm not just going to sit, but I'm going to be a part of the body of Christ. I'm going to pick up my life and be obedient to God and receive where God has me right now. Because the season I'm in is not the season He always wants me to remain in. He's got a new season for you. It's just upon the horizon, but it's just past the corner of acceptance and the curve of obedience. And when you find it, what you thought was going to kill you, God will use in order to use you. Woo! So Joseph had to accept something and he had to be obedient to something. Now Mary, she's my hero. And when you look at Mary, in Luke chapter 1, the word of the Lord came in verse 28. And there's an interesting verse there. It says, having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. blessed you are among women. How many know if an angel appeared to you and spoke that to you? How many know to some of you that'd be a good thing? But look what Mary said in verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting is this. Man, what are you saying, Lord? You're telling me this season that I'm in, this change that I'm going through, you're telling me that I'm highly favored? You're telling me that I'm where I'm supposed to be? And the angel is saying, yes, you're where you are because you are about to give birth to something that is bigger than what you know. Mary was ready to give birth to something. See, you embrace your season because God, the change that He's bringing in your life is so that you will be able to birth something in your season. Maybe it's something you can't see. Maybe it's a dream that God gave you. Maybe it's a vision. Maybe it's a calling on your life. Maybe it's a gift, a talent, or ability, or an idea, or a business, or a concept that is on the inside of you. You have to say, this Christmas, I've decided I'm going to embrace change. And I'm going to give God. I'm going to give birth to something. See, so that something can come out of you that God put in you. Listen, God has put something in you. But until you give birth to it, it'll never come out of you. You got to be willing to give birth to it. Now, here's what's interesting about birth. Not that I have a lot of experience at it. All the men said, yeah, we had a baby. You didn't have no baby. You were the steward of the ice chips. Here's an ice chip, babe. Yeah, you gave birth, all right. We gave birth. Yeah. But in every birthing process, there is a time when you have to push. God can only do so much. God can only bring you to a certain point. God can brood it in you. God can facilitate it in you. God can give it life. But it's only going to come to fruition when you decide you're going to push out that thing God wants you to give birth to. God is ready for you to give birth. But most of you are walking around with a jaundiced purpose inside you. Your baby's got jaundice. You know what that is? It means that baby's been hanging around in you too long. And some of you are sitting here and the purpose of God has been on you and in you, but you've allowed that thing to not be birthed. Why? Because you're unwilling to accept where you are, or unwilling to be obedient to God, and unwilling to say, God, I'll do what you ask me to do. Man, I sense that here. There are some of you who are ready to give birth. I look around and I see the purpose and giftings that are in many of you, and God's got a word for you this morning. Are you ready? It's a deep word. Push! Push! Just push! Push it out, baby! Push it out! It's already in you! It's already there! What are you waiting on? Well, I got to talk to an angel. No, you don't! I threw out 4 fleeces and he only answered 3 of them. Push! Just push! So that what's in you that God has put there can come forth in your life. It's time to push past confusion. It's time to push past abuse. It's time to push past the addictions that are in your life. It's time for a new beginning. It's time to push past disappointment. It's time to push past failure. It's time to push past your past. And it's time to give birth to your future. Hey! Push! Woo! Come on! I'm telling some of you, you just need to walk around. What are you doing? I'm pushing. Because I got destiny and I got purpose. You're laughing, Abby. You're gonna find out, girl. Gonna get real, real quick. It's coming. I'd rather see people walking around going, and people walking around going, "Want an ice chip?" Quit giving ice chips and give birth to the destiny that God has put in you. Stop sitting on the sideline. Jump into what God has for you. Woo! Hey! I don't know what it's like to be pregnant, but I feel like it. I am sometimes. Woo! Don't worry about how. The Holy Spirit's in you. And if He's in you, He's going to come out of you. I said, if He's really in you, He's going to come out of you. I said, if He's in you, He will come out of you. If He ain't there, sweetheart, you're giving birth to stillborn. Whew. Woo! I feel like, I don't know. You're starting to show. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Baby, you're starting to show." Woohoo! It's in there. God's in there. God's in there. You're starting to show with purpose. You're starting to show a little bit with destiny. You're starting to show that there's something that's incarnated inside you that's bigger than what you are. You're giving birth to something that's not just about you, but it's about everyone that comes in contact with you. What God births in you is not for you, but it's for everyone who comes in contact with you. That destiny is not for you. It's for everyone who finds you, comes around you, and there's going to be people you touch that others can't touch. There'll be those you reach that others can't reach. Why? Because what God has put in you is incarnate and it's holy and it's pure. And when God gives birth to it, it will fulfill what it has come to do. Woo! Ha ha. Finally, number four. And I'll close with this because I know y'all are about done. We must believe something. Not only do we accept it, not only do we obey it, not only do we birth it, but we must believe it. Look what she said in verse 34. I'm going to get to a verse of Scripture in a second. If you don't run, I'm going to. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Has God ever given you a promise and you said, "How can this be? How can I do this? What do you mean, me, God? What do you mean?" I remember when God called me to preach. I didn't want to preach. I wanted to be a coach. I wanted to teach school. I wanted to hang around some Christian friends and just be sit in church on Sunday. I said, "God, I can't even talk without spitting. I can't even get up there without sweating. I'll eat every chicken that's alive in the city. There's no way I could preach. I'm really uneducated. It took me 9 years to get my bachelor's degree. And it wasn't because I took one of Hawking's pills." I I probably needed to take a few of them. But I did it. And when I realized I had to accept it and I couldn't run from it, and when I had to just say yes to it and stop fighting God about it, and when I decided that I was going to do it and accept it, and then when I decided that I was going to obey it, I wasn't just going to be someone who talked about being a preacher. I wasn't going to be just, I said, God, listen, I remember where I was. I was in a little small country church on Shelby Street in Florence, Kentucky. And it was a little wooded old church. I was sitting in the front of that church. I just got kicked out of my father's house. And I had no place to stay. I was in that church for the night because I had a key. I remember the moment when I said, God, I said, God, if I do this, I am not turning back. God, if I do this, I'm going to fulfill it. I will not quit. I'm going to go no matter how bad it gets. I came to a place to where I said, God, I do believe in you more than I believe in me. You've got to come to the place that that baby that you're carrying, that purpose you have, you've got to believe God more than you've got to believe in yourself, because you can't do it. Only God can do it. I want to tell you, I've done nothing. Oh, I got to close. Let me just say this. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. As to say, Mary, it's not about you, it's about me. Don't you think it's about time we get to the place in the church when we stop thinking it's about us and start thinking it's about what God's put in us instead of what it's about us? Don't you think it's about time we stop taking our names off the signs and we stop, huh? Well, Pastor didn't recognize me because I made him banana pudding. Let me tell you something. Thank God you can make banana pudding. There's a lot of people that can't. Believe me, I've ate it. I know. But how many of you will do it, whether you get recognition for it or not? How many will stand in the company by yourself and will worship Him with your gift, even if no one is looking? It's in isolation that He teaches us that it's about Him and not about you. Oh, you know, I can't go there because I'll make you mad and I can't let you leave mad. Here's what I'm closing with. I said that. Now, we have Joseph and Mary. God deals with them both differently. And here's how. How many know men and women are different? You've been married 30 seconds, you know they're different. I like chocolate, my wife. I like pecan. How many know men and women are different? Here's how God dealt with Joseph. He dealt with Joseph by letting Joseph know that was what was the change that was taking place was for purpose. God always deals with men about purpose. He deals with women about promise. There's a difference. I'm going to show you. Whew, Holy Ghost. Matthew 1:21. Because He will save His people from their sin. He said, Joseph, it's critical that you're obedient to what I ask you to do, because the purpose is that God wants to save men from their sin. And then He speaks to Mary differently. He didn't speak to Mary with purpose. He spoke to her with promise. Look at verse 37 of chapter 2 of the book of Luke. No, 34. Verse 34. This is what He said to her. He said, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel of the Lord said, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of His highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God.'" And then verse 36, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, who has also conceived the son in her old age and is now in the sixth month for her
her who was also called barren. Verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. He said, Joseph, the purpose of this thing is that men may receive Christ and be saved, and all humanity find Jesus. That's the purpose of your season and change right now. And he said to Mary, Mary, listen to me, one. You say, how can this be? I'll tell you how it can be. Because there is nothing that is impossible when you trust in me. Whew. Woo! Why do you think the two shall become one? So God can speak purpose and promise into the same destiny. Whew. Woo! Hey! That doesn't work with Adam and Steve. That doesn't work with Lucy and Lily. Okay. Hebrews 13:8 says, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your season will change. Matter of fact, you will change in different seasons. But guess what? Never changes. God. Stand with me this morning. He never changes. Embrace the change. Because you serve a God who cannot change. But also you serve a God who don't fail. There are many of you that are here this morning. Sweetheart, you can go get changed for baptism. Where's she at? Listen to me this morning. I was up at 4 o'clock this morning. And what kept going over and over in my mind, I just couldn't get it out of my spirit that there are people that God has brought into this church this past year that are pregnant with purpose and pregnant with destiny. And I kept praying, God, 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 God. It'd be a tragedy if they walked out of here and didn't know the purpose and the promise that you have for what's inside them. Now, as these guys are playing, if you're in a season where there's change going on in your life, you'll say, Pastor, I accept it. There are some things that have come my way. If I could do it, I wouldn't be walking in it. But I accept where you have me. You'd say, Lord, Pastor, I'm going to tell God this morning I'm going to obey it. I don't understand it. I don't know how He's going to do it. I'm just going to obey it. Some of you are pregnant with destiny this morning. You're beginning the show. But nothing comes forth until you push. And nothing comes until you believe He is one who does not change. You're here and you'd say, Pastor, this is my season. And I'm going to allow God to change what He needs to change. I want you to come out of your seat and come down to this altar. And I want you to come down here pregnant with the purpose that God's put in you. And we're going to push this morning. We're going to push on your destiny. Jonathan, there's an anointing on you that few men have ever recognized. Very few men have ever recognized it. Because your disposition's quiet. You come in, you come out. There's things God's brought you through and walked you through. Son, there's so much destiny in you. It overflows. You got the cutest little boy I've ever met. Titus. There's destiny in that name. But guess what Titus is going to know? There's destiny in his dad. You're going to give birth to something this morning, son. Hallelujah. Dave Richardson, come here. You know I'm going to nickname you? I got a question, Dave. That's a good thing, son. That's a great thing. God loves people who ask questions. Because Mary said, how can this be? And God's called you to preach. Quit questioning yourself about the anointing and the call that's on your life. Why do you keep questioning? It's on you. I'll tell you how it can be. Because what's in you has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the God that put it there inside you. And it's time to give birth. You're not lonely. You're isolated. There's a difference. Loneliness means there's no hope. Isolation is preparation. Woo! Hey, He's isolated you to prepare you. Quit asking God why He's not brought a wife into my life. It's because you're not pregnant yet. You got to get fat. Your ankles got to swell. You got to retain water. And when the water breaks and you give birth, then God will bring somebody into your life. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Ah! Woo! Come here, Michelle. Woo! I pray, Lord, days and months and weeks of drunk in the Spirit. Let her sleep drunk in the Spirit. Let her wake up drunk in the Spirit. Woo. Let the consummation of purpose begin to happen. And let the birthing process begin. In Jesus' name. Whoo. Whoo. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. You're the same way. You keep asking questions. The question. Fire. Fire! Hashanaba, Hoshanaba, Hashanaba Kashara, Shadababa, Shadabaka, Halabasha. Come on, baby, you're having a baby before you get married. Ah! Woo! There's destiny. Destiny! I said destiny. There's destiny. Destiny in you, Jeff. Destiny in you, Jeff. God would not have brought you where He's brought you if there was not destiny in you. You realize that God literally choked the devil out of your life. The course that He took you. Pregnant, 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 pregnant. Get fat, get fat, get fat, get fat in Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. Come here, Caitlin. There it is. There it is. Ha, ha. You've said that many times. Lord, how can this be? You are strategically placed. God has strategically placed you. There's many seasons to come, but the season you're now in is a strategic place. It'll be a place you'll never forget. God's going to use you with such great purpose in this season. You just need a promise. And the promise is this. If God be for me, who can be against me? If God be for me, then who can be against me? When the Lord is lifted up, His enemies shall be scattered. And what's in you is greater. There it is, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Is this all right, folks? I know we're late. I know. Come here, Jimmy and Anita. Father, I pray healing. No more sickness. No more pain. No more struggle. Strategy. Holy Spirit, purpose. Jesus' name. Healing. Dear sweetheart. God's not forgot you. He's not forgot you. You feel forgotten sometimes, don't you? But He's not forgot you. He knows the number of hairs that are on our head. And He knows you. It's a new season. A new season. It's a new season. It's a new season. Healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come here, Miss Donna. Father, I thank You for the gift that this woman of God has. I pray, Lord, now, give birth to the destiny that's in her. Here's what I see, Donna. I see you as a little girl in these prayer meetings and seeing miracles happen and seeing destiny in other people's lives. And you're deep down in, it may not have been verbalized, but I know inside you're going, oh my, if You could ever use me like that, God, if You could ever use me like that. It has not even entered into your mind what God's about to use you and how He's getting ready to use you. Father, let Your destiny be in your daughter. Woo! Fire. Come here. Hold hands. Lord, speak purpose. Lord, speak promise. Let promise and purpose come together. Fire! In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hey, sweetie. Hi, sweetie. How are you? You're awful pretty. Can I pray for you?
You know what, Pastor Shane, pray for you. Remember he came to the hospital and saw baby Brio?
Lord, let Your purpose be fulfilled. Nothing missing, nothing lacking all the days of our life. Do not forget what You put in her. I pray will one day come out. Set her aside for Your purpose that is greater than what she could imagine. I pray that she's a world changer in Jesus' name. Father, there's a nursery rhyme that keeps coming to mind when I sit in here holding your hand. And I don't even know what the nursery rhyme is. I don't even know the words. But it just comes to rhyme and it says something like, sweet little baby, don't you cry. Daddy's going to buy you a diamond ring. Y'all, you know that's that lullaby. That's what I hear God singing over you. He's singing purpose over you. He's singing destiny over you. He is singing over you. Because God sings over those He loves. He sings over those He's closest to. The Bible said, and Jesus sat down and He sang a hymn with His disciples. And that's what I see Him doing. He's singing over you as His daughter. Father, shoo. Oh, that's it. Shoo, ba, ba, ba. Shoo, ba, ba. Shoo, shoo. 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 Hallelujah. Fire! Hallelujah. Who needs to be prayed for? Come here, sweetheart. You're a blessing to this church. You know that? I get a joy every time I see you come in. Father, yes and amen. Yes and amen. This too shall pass. It's only a season. Just be obedient. Father, fire. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come here, friend. I saved you for last. I need some Holy Ghost-filled men to gather around this guy. Come on. I need some Holy Ghost men. Some of my leaders, come. Raise your hands. Hallelujah. Father, we speak life. Father, you've raised him up for such a time as this, and you brought him into your kingdom. Lord, you didn't put in him all that you put in him to go to waste. You waste no experience. But there's a seed that's in him. There is a birthing seed that is germinating right now. The consummation of God's destiny is being birthed. Let it come forth. Let it rise now in Jesus' name. Fire. Woo! Hey! Hallelujah. 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 Would you just lift your hands? Just everyone in this house, lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Woo! Ha ha ha. That's all right. Some of you didn't come. You're supposed to. That's all right. I just sent the Holy Ghost hound after you. Say, Lord, I accept where you have me. I believe what you've told me. Hallelujah. I'll give birth to what you put in me. Come on, just receive right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Come on, church, worship. Hallelujah. Everybody, bless you, my friend. Bless my brother. Fill his heart with fire and joy. Fill his heart with fire and joy. Let the purpose that you have for him arise. Let him take his place as the man of God that you have always put in him. Let him take his rightful place of authority in his family, in his home, in all he does. Let him speak to mountains, and they shall be removed. May he lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. May he believe for people who can't believe for themselves. May he be a man who stands in the gap, who's an example of the fact that God's arm is not short. That God keeps His promises. That God never goes back on men He raises up. And just like Joseph was a righteous man, I pray the righteousness of God will rest upon him. And every disappointment
Every sense of failure, every sense of lack of purpose be gone now in Jesus' name. This is a new day, a new season, and be pregnant with the purpose of God. Shoo! Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! Hallelujah! He knows what you. He knows what you need. Just receive. There you go. Sometimes we have to quit talking. Like you're going to inform God on what you need. He already knows. Shoo. Let it be done. Ha ha. The sooner you line up, heaven's going to open up and it's going to flow in your life. Father, you did not send this man here by accident, but for purpose. You did not give him this child to be father of by accident. Father, we pray the blessing of God over this baby. May your purpose and season in all seasons be with him. God with us. In Jesus' name. There it is, Steve. There it is. I love you. Hallelujah. Just a second.